Get your trainers on, people. Get your shades on. We're going for a walk down the high street. And then when you get home, you might need a pen and paper. Maybe you can have a pen, paper, and do a walk all at the same time.
I mean, that's multitasking at its finest.
It is. We have got a treat in store for you today. The toolkit of habit changers, behaviour changers, which will mean that you should find it a lot easier to keep off the weight that you are losing or have lost.
Well, I mean, that sold me, love.
We forgot our sunglasses. We're walking in the beautiful sunshine, which is a rare occurrence.
It's normally rain for us, isn't it?
Yeah, so just limbering up, just do some calf stretches.
Just do squats.
That's it. Anna's squatting in the middle of my high street.
There's a dog.
Mind the poo. And that's how we're going to start this podcast. Play some ukuleles. Right, we are out for a walk because one of the key ways of being a Target member is doing some body magic.
Isn't it? Oh, look at the view, Claire.
It's a beautiful day.
It is.
These are the days when body magic comes easy, let's
face
it.
Yeah, these are the days where you just want to be out and about, don't you? Being active, eating some ice cold fruit.
We've got our armpits out and everything.
I mean,
we've got our full arms out.
I mean, our listeners are thinking, what the hell are they wearing? I must tell you, we are fully dressed. We're just wearing short sleeves. No sleeves. But we're not flashing our pits. I've had laser hair removal. Look at my pits.
Wow. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. She is Anna. She is actually a professional Slimming World consultant of how many years? Over 10?
Over 10?
Wow.
I would have, yeah, 10. Yeah, I was going to say something very inappropriate there, so let's move on.
And I am a member who's been pretty much a member for about 8 years, 3 years on the most recent journey, 3.5 years, and became Target a couple of months ago.
Do you know what I was thinking? Imagine if you had done a group search and you hadn't come through my door that January, this would never be happening.
Yeah, I mean, I actually kind of came
that?
To you because of the time of the
Do
week.
You? And yeah. I wasn't even there your first group, was I? I was in New York for my birthday. Yeah. And but imagine if that, you know, postcode search and Saturday morning group had never come up, never be here. I know.
So we've been doing this podcast for a while, and often the podcast is about the process of losing weight, but we also get a lot of people who are Target members who listen to this and often say once they get to Target they can find it a little bit more difficult doing Slim for Life. They need that extra help, so we thought, why not talk about this? And for those of you who are still on your journey, maybe you're curious about what to expect, and actually I think some of these habits, if you're finding that you're focusing too much on the scales, this could be really helpful to just divert your attention. I mean, like, we're walking down the high street right now, okay? We've just walked past
a fresh bakery.
We've got the chip shop to the left of us here. We walked past a really, like, a coffee shop that is way too close.
Oh, it's so
frankly.
Nice. That's way too close.
Yeah.
Nice hairdresser.
There's
there,
other
love.
Ways. Yeah, there's hairdressers. There's a little mini supermarket coming up on the left-hand side. I mean, there are takeaways. Yeah, there's Indian restaurants here. There are all kinds of things that can kind of trick us up. Even in this five-minute journey, how many kind of triggers and things have we seen where before we joined Slimming World, we could have fallen at all of these hurdles at some point over the course of a few days?
I think I could have just gained half a stone. Like, literally, that bakery, jeep. I had to look away from the window. I don't know if you saw, because it was like, I was almost tempted to lick the window, guys. But yes, no, and I think the thing to recognise about food and weight loss and being at Target is it's not something you can escape. It's constantly there, isn't it, testing you? It's constantly saying, oh, okay, where's your head at? Where are your habits at? Where's your mojo at, isn't it? Which is really quite tough.
Yeah. So here's the thing, right? This episode was inspired by our listener, Laura, who got in contact. I think she actually sent this for one of our listeners' questions episodes. And in it, she sent an email saying, hi, Claire and Anna. I recently got to Target and stayed there for a few months, but then bad habits replaced the good ones. I was interested to hear you talk about a toolkit to maintain weight loss and realise that the reason that the weight has crept on is that there were gaps in mine. I never got into the good habit of exercise, for example. My question is, what should be in a target, what should a target member have in their toolkit and why? Thanks to the podcast, always helping to support me, giving me a good giggle along the way. Really interesting question that, because that kind of made me think, oh, I hadn't thought about it in that way.
And something I often get asked as a consultant is, what do I need to do to keep this weight off? What do I need to do to make it happen? How do I stay here?
People need something else to focus on.
Yeah, and we also don't trust ourselves, do we? We don't trust that actually I've got myself to lose weight, and actually I'm pretty skilled at doing this. I just need to make sure that I keep doing those things and keep an eye on myself and keep believing. But I think this checklist that we've got here is absolutely brilliant at giving you pointers of things that you might need to work on, or, oh, actually I do that. I did something similar with my members a few months ago, and it was really interesting to see the people that were really smashing their weight loss had about 95% of these habits in place, and the people that were struggling, it was near a kind of 25%. So it could be just a thing to look at and think, actually, I'm nailing that, but this needs some work, so this is my focus to try and do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, I mean, there are obviously some brilliant resources. When you become a Target member, you do have access to the Slim for Life plan, which has three routes depending on your last 12 weeks of weight loss up to Target. But also, just generally, as a member, I find that the Lifeline online resource is fantastic and it's timeless. You know, you can type in keywords and find all kinds of things. And I typed in habits. And I found this, which is part of a series of articles on Lifeline Online, which is Slim for Life Habits. And it's got like kind of a bit of a, well, it's a table, isn't it?
Yeah, we love a grid.
It has the habit, and next to it, you write, do I always do that habit? Do I sometimes do that habit? Do I never do that habit? What is it, always?
So, mostly.
Mostly, sometimes, rarely, never. And so you kind of, you know, do a bit of a, I don't know, you go over the habits and you kind of print it off and you can tick whatever next to it. So you can search on the Lifeline Online features in the search box, Slim for Life Habits. And this article that we're referring to, I think it actually has something like 22 habits, but I made it 15 because it sounded nicer.
I wondered where some of them had gone. Just a little caveat about the Slim for Life book. So everyone can have access to that. That's like on, you know, on display in my group. It's not some secret, you know, little place that you get entered into when you hit Target. So if you are interested, always ask to have a little look at the Slim for Life book. There's a section on the website. So it's not some massive secret that you only get the key to when you hit Target, because nothing changes majorly apart from you just get some more healthy extras and some savvy sins. It's more about the mindset that we're trying to develop when you're at Target, aren't we?
Yeah. Should we sit down on a lovely bench?
Oh, please, love.
Whose bench is this?
Anybody would thought you...
This bench is Helene Bardsley.
Ah, oh, behind every smile is
a tear
for a mother loved.
So dear, she was a district nurse.
Oh.
Right, can you sit on this side, please?
Sure.
Thank you very much. This is my left side, is my best side.
Best side for hearing?
No, well, it's got headphones on, it makes no difference.
I was thinking.
We sat opposite a house which was built in 1646.
Wow, it looks in good nick, doesn't it? I was only made in 1981 and I'm more decrepit than that house.
Yeah, so let's have a look at these habits then. So, number one.
I feel like we need some great sound effects.
Okay. No.
Habit number one. I vary my free food choices throughout the week.
So you vary free food choices. Okay, do you always do that? Do you mostly do that? Do you sometimes do that? Do you rarely do that? Do you never do that? Vary your free food choices. I think sometimes people can kind of have fixed plans, can't they? Or they just have...
the same breakfast.
Yeah, or like always jacket potato beans for lunch.
Don't knock my jacket potato and beans.
No, like, every day.
See, that will make me happy. Yeah, but no, I think it is. Variety is the key to weight loss success. It's also the spice of life, but without variety, there's only so far you can get.
I do think it's like sometimes having fixed plans. Some people like that, you know, like the people who have the same lunch every day for work for 40 years. I'm the type of person who can have no 2 days the same. I need every day to be mixed up and completely different. But yeah. I also understand some people like routine.
Yeah, I could do it for about 4 days and then I'd be like, oh my God. I've got a gorgeous member who's like, Anna, I batch cook on a Sunday. It lasts me to the following Sunday and I don't really care as long as it's warm and wet and I can eat it. And I like her thinking.
I suppose it's understand what is the benefit for varying your free food. You get different nutrients. Yeah. You keep it interesting. It's colour.
I think it's more, from a slimming point of view psychologically, the variety. The also knowing that if you're varied, you're less likely to be triggered by the high fat, high sugar foods, aren't you?
So. If you don't want to get bored, and you think, oh, I've made my lunch today, but it's boring, I've had that for 4 days in a row.
That's
I want
something.
To just go and have those free crisps and chocolate that someone's brought into the office because they look more interesting.
Yeah, and it's knowing, actually, is your repetition sending you down a path of destruction is what I had to learn. So, yeah, I would say, I don't know about you, but I would say but somewhere between always and mostly.
Yeah, I would now. I mean, I think when I first started out, if I'm honest, I'd never tried half of the free foods.
Yeah, look at you now.
So I felt like, oh, I only eat this, I don't eat that, oh, I'm not sure about that. Whereas now I'm a bit more open-minded, I think, to be like, oh, for instance, walking past a grocer's the other day and they were advertising Wimberries.
Wimberries.
W-I-M.
Oh, Wimberries.
Wimberries, all one word. And apparently, someone was telling me, oh, Wimberries are synonymous with Glossop and the Wimberry pie is quite a famous thing.
Oh.
And I went back to go and get some later that day and they sold out. But the courage that I think I have now to think, oh, I've never heard of that. That's probably a speed food. I'll give that a go. I like other berries, so I'll give a Wimberry a go.
Yeah.
But and like this week we bought nectarines and we bought plums and when I first joined Simmerwood, I hadn't even really eaten fruit. So
I've still got a vision of you, 8 o'clock, 8:33 on a Saturday morning eating a lychee. It's a memory with lovely Laura, I'll never forget. Okay. Do you know, the next one I think is very, very key. And when I did this with my members, it was the thing that came out the most. At meal times, I instinctively fill at least 1/3 of my plate with speed food.
A third of your plate. A lot of people kind of think that they're putting a third. Like I was explaining to Matt about spaghetti bolognese.
Oh, it's an interesting
favourite meal.
Is it?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh God, it doesn't really excite me. It's just messy.
I love a spag bol.
It's just messy.
Messy to eat or cook?
But I was explaining to him the concept around a third of speed food. And I said, it's really easy we need to move over here, I think, to move out of the way of this person. It's really easy to like just put a massive mound of spaghetti, a bit of like the mince with a bit of chopped tomatoes and some onion and think, oh, I've done a third of my speed. Well, and actually...
Yeah, you've used a can of tomatoes and it's serving 8 portions. So it can be such a hard meal, spag bol. Do you know what I do, how I've got round it? Courgette, butternut squashy or what's it called? Where it's... Oh, Swede noodles. Oh. Put half the spaghetti and put that in so I know I've got the 1/3. It's made my life much easier. So, yeah, instinctively, I would say most of the time I put it in my meals. What about you?
I'm much better than I used to be. Again, because I am open to trying more speed. I'm trying a thing at the moment where I put the speed on my plate first.
Yes, I always would recommend
and then
that.
Put the protein and then the free food, because quite often I think I'm very much put the rice, the pasta, the potato first, which isn't necessarily wrong.
No,
but it's not always going to get me the weight loss that sometimes I want or I'm expecting.
Well, I think what you've got to recognise, if you don't get the 1/3 speed free that you're replacing 1/3 of the meal with, you're not going to get the cracking weight losses that you want. Will you still lose weight? Yes, but it's knowing what works for you. So like for me, I put the 1/3 speed on first because then I know I've done it and I've got it. I also make sure that I eat it first or in every mouthful, because otherwise we've all had it. And yeah, you do your roast dinner, you've got all the lovely things, and then there's your broccoli left because actually it wasn't as tasty as the roast potatoes. So it's knowing the benefit. Replace 1/3 It's going to get you better weight losses. It's going to allow you to be getting the filling power for less energy. If you don't do it, you won't get the beautiful weight losses, but also you won't be able to maintain your weight in the way that you maybe hope.
So the next one is, I naturally control my healthy extra portion sizes. I think I kind of had adapted it in my head to be like, I measure my healthy extra portion sizes. Do I always do that? Do I mostly do that? Sometimes, rarely, never. And I think where I've possibly gone wrong before is I've kind of been like, meh, that's kind of about 40 grams.
I think the way it's worded, there's a reason why it's naturally control your healthy extra portion sizes. Because in our hope is that all target members are going to get to that point where they naturally know, actually, that's what I'm having for my healthy extra. That's my brown flakes. I don't need to obsessively weigh and measure anymore because I've been doing it so long, I know, and it's okay. But it's when you go, when what this is trying to recognise is, am I at the point where I am knowing that's a healthy extra, but having more than the allocated amount? So actually, I know that two slices of wholemeal bread from a small loaf is my healthy extra, but I'm intentionally choosing to have six slices. Mm. Because actually, that's a habit that's indicative of not controlling your weight loss. So we don't want target members to be weighing and measuring and counting everything till the end of time. Our hope for all our target members at the end of the game is that you go by your genes and you don't have to visit group anymore. Mm. So that's the reason. We're talking about naturally controlling it. And I think you're right in saying, for you, is it about saying, I measure them, or I know they're controlled, or I buy the cheese that's pre-measured, or whatever it is. Would you say you do that most of the time?
Yeah, it's kind of become like instinctive, yeah. I think. I would say I'm mostly or always on that one.
Yeah,
like I know a couple of the popular biscuit style cereals that I can have two.
Yeah.
And that is my healthy extra B. The bread that I buy is still classed as healthy extra because I know it's got the nutrients and the fibre that I need.
Yeah.
And that's just become part of what I do when I go shopping. That's the first thing that I go to.
It's an intrinsic habit.
That's what I mean. I think I got, when I read this list, I was like, okay, actually, there are things. It was a good check for me to like kind of say, where am I at?
Yeah, you wouldn't go into the supermarket and buy a white tiger loaf now and say that's my healthy extra bit.
Or if I would, I would recognise that it's not.
Exactly, that's the whole point.
So the next one, this is my tricksy one.
I did not
put always in this. When I eat in restaurants, I tend to choose a healthier option.
You see, now this is something for me I would do 99% of the time. It's really, there's other ones down here where I'm like, that you've got that I haven't got. This is something. Now, I think it depends about where your head is with restaurants and where you see them. Now, as a child, we ate out four nights a week out of seven to do my parents' business and whatever. So actually, I learned from a young age, my issue was never eating out. My issue was when I got home. But for you, I remember when I first met you and you'd be on the road, it was your relaxation, wasn't it? A lot of the time you get room service and then a pudding. Like it was something you recognise with relaxation, with fun, with reward. So what did you tip for this?
I put sometimes. I went out at the weekend and we went to a Sri Lankan restaurant.
Oh,
so it was
wow.
like more like curries. The first part of the starter, well, you know, it was like bhajis, deep fried oil. I was like, that's really not great. But my main, I went and picked steamed rice instead of fried rice. I had a curry that wasn't filled with cashew nuts, and it didn't have the word creamy or coconut milk in it.
So you know the avoidance.
It was jackfruit and chickpea, so I thought, that's free food and that's protein. And the sauce was a bit spicy, but it had spices, but it wasn't coconut based. So I thought, actually, out of that, I was all right. And I looked at what Matt picked and I was like, that is like, wow.
Really? Were you just looking
that's
at
That's why
plate,
you run marathons,
it?
Mate, and I don't. And you're over 6 foot and I'm 5 foot, what, nothing.
Yeah.
But, so that's why I put sometimes, actually, and this is where it is like putting a pause in and saying, okay, I know for me that's one I will always have to work on.
Yeah. It's interesting. And we'll all have different things, won't we? Whereas you probably ticked one later down about activity that I haven't. It's very interesting.
I know my tipping point with alcohol. Is that always, mostly, sometimes, rarely, never? I mean, it's irrelevant now because I don't drink anymore.
Yeah.
But I could see how this before would be...
I would say, the members that I encounter, I did a massive thing in group about this last week. This was one of the biggest things.
Yeah.
It's twofold. It's A, knowing your tipping point, but it's then A, having a plan to do something when you hit the tipping point, yeah, or not allowing yourself, because actually, if you find that you are never paying any attention to this, you're going to struggle, aren't you, with the outcome. We know about that. And there's more information you can find about the tipping point on the website, actually, that will really help. Also, with the alcohol, the next one down is I give myself an upper limit with alcohol and stick to it like glue. You said in, I think it was our listeners' questions, you were talking about, actually, I knew that I had to have wine or chocolate to lose the weight I wanted to, and you chose the chocolate, didn't you? Because I would say, and I don't know if you're the same, for me, I knew with the alcohol I couldn't get the weight loss I wanted, not only because of the booze, but because of the food I'd then be wanting to eat.
The drink that I wanted was always high in sins, yeah, but then the drink would mean that I would want to, I don't know, eat a kebab or chips, cheese and mayonnaise on the way home, and then the next morning I'd order takeout, or yeah, I'd end up going out to eat out because I couldn't be asked to, like, yeah, cook. So really, actually, the alcohol one for me just slipped into when I eat in restaurants, I wasn't choosing healthier options. Do you know what I mean? It just kind of sent everything else off. So I think it's being honest with ourselves, yeah, about that.
And it's knowing that the things that Claire and I are saying yes or no to may be totally, yeah, different to yours. This is one, I was like, yes, of course. But I the next one, I recognise this may be very different for lots of people. I always use sweetener instead of sugar. I just put always. I'd never think to put sugar on anything.
No, I'm different.
Oh, you're that interesting.
I've changed this. I mean, more in recent months I've gone back to like baking cakes and things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I have used sugar.
Yeah, but that's in baking. But you wouldn't, would you now? Like, I don't know if you're the same.
I wouldn't have sweetener or sugar in coffee or tea anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But you wouldn't, like, so back in the day I used to have two, you know, wheat-based cereal things in milk and I'd put sugar on it. I wouldn't think to do that now. I'd either pick a Sindh honey or put some sweet berries on it or something like that. So it's maybe thinking about, do you, I know there are a lot of people that don't like using sweetener these days, but are you knowingly choosing sugar or knowingly not, maybe is a better way?
I mean, even things like in your jams, in your squashes,
yeah,
you know, get the ones that are reduced sugar or no added sugar. Once you kind of start kind of cottoning on, I mean, we're looking into an episode about sugar, aren't we?
Yeah,
about where it is and where it's hidden.
It's in everything.
Some of the cereals. I mean, it's ludicrous. Tomato ketchup, for goodness sake.
Baked beans, all those things that they get
so
in.
So I get that, and I think I've made the changes, and I would never go, I'd always go and order like a Diet Cola if I was out.
You always order
I'd order the sugar-free syrup in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next one is I make a basic meal plan and shopping list every week.
Always, ooh, mostly, sometimes, rarely, never.
I'd say mostly for me.
I'd say mostly. Yeah. And it's something that I think I've wrestled with throughout, yeah, this journey.
We've
I've been rebelled. A bit like, oh God, I don't have to plan. It's so boring doing, yeah, a plan. Oh.
But actually it works so well, doesn't it?
Sometimes I think it's about taking the time out now to save your time later.
Yeah. And also not thinking about it as a plan, thinking, oh, okay, this is my 10 minutes to make sure that I have a really fabulous week and feel good. Whereas we go, oh God, I've got a plan. Especially if you're the person that has to plan and do their food shops. You know what I mean?
That's like, it. Matt will turn around to be like, what are we having for tea tonight?
Who does that? Like, where are we pants and what's for
we've
dinner?
We've got the same access to the same cupboards.
Yeah, exactly.
We've cooked loads of recipes. Can you not just decide yourself?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, come on, man.
Daisy will ask me as I'm giving her breakfast, Mom, what's for supper tonight? I'm like, I can't tell her to go and cook yet, can, yeah, I? But I'm going to train her up. Okay, next one is, I think about what I'll be spending my sins on at the start of each day.
And this is kind of links to the planning. I suppose it's also thinking about, well, what is the benefit to you doing
that?
I looked at all these habits and thought, well, what's the benefit if I do use sweetener instead of sugar? What is the benefit if I do make a meal plan and a shopping list every week? And this one, what is the plan if I think about how I spend my sins at the start of each day?
You're going to be in control, aren't you? Like, you sent me a message last night, knowing we were recording, saying you'd made some cake and it was X sins and I needed, if I wanted it, you know, adjust your sins, yeah, accordingly. And I loved that because I was like, no, I've only got five, babe.
Yeah, yeah.
But we both knew where we were at then.
Yeah.
And I think the risky bum, if you're having reactive sins, as I call them, is then you haven't got the flexibility of going, actually, I want to have extra gravy with this, or I did want some cashew nuts in my curry, or whatever it is. So actually planning it out stops you losing control, doesn't it? And I think I always enjoy sins more when they're planned.
What was interesting the other week, I don't think I told you this, I found a recipe where I made some lime pie. It wasn't a Slimming World recipe. And let me tell you, after I'd made it...
Did you wet the sins out?
Well, number one, I thought I could eat it in an hour, and then I realised it had to be in the fridge overnight.
Oh no, there's like, nothing
what
worse.
An idiot. And it was for the football as well, so I was like... And then we lost. And,
oh no, you know, you were licking it when it was not set, weren't
exactly.
you?
Exactly. But I worked out the sins after I'd made it, and I nearly cried.
Oh, we've all
I realised it was 20 sins a slice.
I mean, I've had worse.
Like, the biscuit base on its own was like 75. Was I was like, are you kidding me? Anyway, I thought, no, it's okay. I can still have my sins. And I thought, I really want that lime pie. And so over a week, I had 4 slices of lime pie. We had 4 each. And I made sure that my meals were really, really like sin-free. And I went on to step on the scale. So I'd had 80 sins of lime pie that week.
Good work.
And
but you knew it was 80 sins, Claire.
Yeah, I knew
That's
it.
Amazing.
I knew it. And it made me focus because I really wanted that piece of lime pie because it was delicious.
Was it?
And so I focused on everything else. And I stepped on the scales after that week and I lost 2.5 pounds.
There you go.
So you can have your cake and eat it. Or your pie and eat it. But that's what I think when I think, okay, about the plan, you know, honing in. Where do I want my sins? Right, I'm going to,
you know,
have 20
pie.
Sins with this.
Yeah.
What do I need to do? Well, I need to make sure all my meals are on point and I'm using my healthy extras.
Yeah, and you're counting everything. Then you have the freedom to lose 2.5 pounds and enjoy your 4 slices of cake.
You know what? It was a real kind of like, oh, I can do this.
It's an epiphany,
it was an awakening because often I think we kind of have all these little sins that creep in. I also had another realization. I totally forgot to text you about this, right? And this is what I mean, right? I'm a target member and I am still learning this stuff, right?
I'm a consultant and I'm still learning.
Yeah. So I went to my usual coffee shop.
It's a very nice coffee
on Friday, And it was quiet and I had time to talk to them and they were like, oh, you always come in here, you're having the usual. And I was like, well, actually, I'm not going to have an oat latte with caramel sugar-free syrup. Let's stop here. Which of the milks out of here have you got that are unsweetened or without sugars? And she said, oh, actually, the almond one is always unsweetened here.
Nice.
So I was like, great, okay, I'll have that. And I was like, and I'll get my sugar-free syrup. And she's like, yeah, we've got this one. So anyway, she makes me, I'm watching her and talking to her. And I'm, you know, normally you kind of go away and you come and collect it, don't you? And she makes a double espresso. And then there's no extra water in a latte. And then she pours from the bottom of the cup all the way to the top, the milk.
Because there's no foam.
And I realised what I've been sinning as maybe about 100 mil is absolute...
Oh, 350.
Oh, it must have been 400.
Oh, because they're latte.
And obviously I've been having oat milk, which hasn't been the no sugars.
Of course.
And then I said to her, okay, and then the syrup, like, can you just show me, like, how much you normally put in? I've been sinning like a tablespoon.
Yes.
Well, it was about 3.
Wow.
So I've been putting on my plan 3.5 sins for one of these.
Oh.
What a load of rubbish. It's more like 16, 17 sins.
Wow.
So, and I was at that point, even in those last few months, where I was like, what is it? What is it? I don't understand what it is. And it was just like kind of a real big... And also, it was too hot. I was drinking this thing thinking, I don't enjoy it because it's far too hot for a coffee.
Bless you.
And I thought, right, lattes are out.
Yeah,
I don't
lattes,
need this much milk. Maybe I have an Americano. Maybe I have an espresso.
Yeah.
Maybe I have a cortado.
Oh, what's cortado?
Cortado is an espresso with a little bit of milk, a little bit of foam.
Because when I first met you, had espressos.
Yeah. But, you know, I just kind of slipped into the latte world.
Oh,
and this is what I mean about stopping and saying, right, rather than, I think you said when you go to like a popular fast food restaurant, you just, you know, say, hello, can I take your order, as you pull up in the car, and it just
falls out.
When I go to the coffee shop, what do you want? Oat latte with caramel sugar-free syrup, please. And don't even think about it. Do you want a regular or large? Regular, please.
Yeah.
And I just always order the same. And until I stopped and I saw, I was like, flipping, how much milk is she putting in that?
It's half a
and then it's just, and thank God it was unsweetened. So that day I used it as a whole healthy extra.
But imagine that clocks up, doesn't it?
And so then, you know, this is what I mean about like the planning, looking at the sins, you know, it's just, and look, the next one. During the day, I'm very mindful of which foods to choose and which to limit or avoid.
Yeah.
Now, I know in the future when I want to have an oat latte and I really want an oat latte, I'm going to be prepared to, like, that's a day's worth of sins.
Yeah. Or, yeah, and I think it's knowing that. Knowledge is power. And actually, you do know that when you know it, but you just hadn't realised what was in it, had you, until you kind of saw it. So it's not like you were purposefully
being
doing
honest with yourself and saying, I do not know everything. Because you are at Target does not mean you are cured. You are fountain of all knowledge and you know everything. You are still on a journey of learning and of growth, even though you're at Target.
Yeah, and just always check something out. If it feels too good to be true, it normally is.
Yeah.
Okay, next one is, now this is what I was talking about before, some things that I just don't do that you maybe do. I make sure I fit activity into my routine most days. Now I would say sometimes with that, as in I'm getting sweaty and working up a good heart rate, I would say you do that always.
Yeah, but you know, I haven't got a child that doesn't sleep.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I'm
making myself feel bad, but I just need to sort it out.
I didn't have an excuse, and that's also what you made me realise. Yeah. I need to do this stuff because I can, and I should take the opportunity to be thankful that I can. But yeah, and it's taken a bit of time to make it work, and I suppose I've kind of got like a bit of a 3-prong approach now.
Oh, okay.
I've got I've got my gym.
Yeah.
And what I do is I book my classes a month in advance, as if I'm making a commitment to the dates I'm going to do the gym.
Yeah.
And I found a time that works for me. I prefer the morning.
I do.
Otherwise, I talk myself out of it if it's later. The second thing is I like doing yoga for stretches. So I actually go to a yoga class twice a week now.
Love that.
The different types of yoga. One's a bit more moving around and flowing. The other one's a bit more yin. So it's slowed down, more meditation stuff.
I need that stuff.
The third one is walking.
Yeah.
Getting out, doing 3 walks a week of about 2 hours.
Oh, nice.
And so with that 3-prong approach, I'm doing one of those things
every day.
Every day.
Love
and that's what works for me. I can't say that I would be able to tick always if I always go to the gym every single day
of
the week.
But you
don't
have
to.
No, but you're active. And that's the thing, you have become active as part of your lifestyle. You really
doing the
have.
Body Magic Awards is fantastic for working on this. So if you're someone who's putting maybe sometimes, rarely or never, the biggest thing I can say is just start the bronze.
Yeah.
And maybe actually if you're out the habit, go back. I went back.
I've just had a few members start
and
back.
Do that.
Yeah, gets you back in
because
the...
bronze is for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Then your silver
8 weeks.
And gold are 8 weeks. Mm. And then your platinum is when you're nailing
stuff.
It. But the 8 weeks really for me made it a habit.
Yeah. And it's also the length of time at 8 weeks, isn't it? Because the bronze you can start achieving actually, well, I could do that with just this, but you really have to work at it to get the gold, don't you? Okay, next one is something that I've had to work so hard on. I don't feel guilty when I go off track. I draw the line and move on.
I don't feel guilty when I go off track.
See,
let's move on.
It's a hard one, that. Creeps in, doesn't it? Creeps in like ants. Like, oh, you thought you were right, but you're not.
I think, yeah, you know, I kind of had mentioned that in one of our episodes where as I've been in reach my target, which is only like a couple of months ago, I've had 3 blips.
Yeah.
And then I've had to like work to kind of come back in. And I've done that and I haven't had to pay. But it was a bit of a reality shock, I think, because I kind of had almost like imposed this fear in myself of if I go out of that target range, then I've let everybody down. You know, let everyone down, the podcast, I've let my group down.
Aww.
Like I've fallen off this pedestal. Who am I? And actually, I hadn't really felt like that shame for many years, because I think when you're on the journey and you've had a few gains and wobbles and you know it kind of all evens out over time, it's all right. But it kind of hit me like a punch in the stomach of the shame that I felt. And I was like, oh, that's something that I maybe need to work on. So I don't know whether I would ever put always for this one, because the shame in me that...
What's the shame about?
Just, you'd always be big. You know, who are you kidding yourself that you're a slim, healthy, active person? Look, you can't even manage a couple of weeks in Target without you going outside your range. Who do you think you are?
And it's
strong within me, and I think it may take many years of reprogramming, I think.
Whereas what I think of you is like, oh my God, she's tenacious enough to have got to group on the week she knew she was going to be out of target, get weighed and do something about it. That's what I always think about when that happens to my target members, like, brilliant. Well done on you. And well done that you're still in group, because actually you can see how you've regained weight previously. There is no shame, there is no guilt. And I know, because we've got this platform, we almost probably now feel in a way we didn't before. We've got to be an example. But I don't think our listeners are listening to us for examples, are they?
No,
sorry.
But also I think the conversations I had with other target members in my group really spun it around for me, because they kind of said, oh gosh, yeah, the last few months have been so difficult. You know, I really feel for the people who are kind of starting out in their journey, because they were like, well gosh, we've been doing this for years and we're finding it tough. So it was really nice to, again, the reason we go to group is kind of think, oh, I'm not alone.
No, and you're not, you're really, really not. So next one, very interesting one. I know that what my trigger foods are, and I know how to protect myself from them.
Oh, so trigger foods and like danger areas is another phrase that we hear. Trigger foods and danger areas. I think I know what they are. I do know how to protect myself.
I don't choose to protect myself. I was going to say,
I don't know whether I can, but always.
I'd say sometimes, because I know knowingly, sometimes I go head first into my triggers because I like them. Do you find it? Like, because I do. I know with like chocolate or cake, or, you know, I had a big, very gorgeous celebratory meal out with my husband alone for 3.5 hours. And I knew headfirst that I was having a dessert. Was it a trigger food? Yes. But I knew that it was something that potentially, if I hadn't planned it in or just eaten it without consciously knowing what I was doing, it could have triggered me. But I would say most of the time, I know they're a trigger food and I knowingly do it. I think it's when it's dangerous is when you kind of, it just happens and you think it's going to be different this time. You know, you go, I don't have an issue with chocolate, it's fine. No, you clearly do, Anna, because you've just eaten 3 kilos of the stuff when you're only meant to have a small frog.
I think, but with the lifestyle change, because I think many of us can probably admit that it's not just the food that we change. Sometimes it's the confidence. It's who we hang out with, where we go, maybe even the jobs that we do. Like the kind of knock-on effect, I suppose, that making a change to something like this has. And I think that the things that perhaps used to trigger me before, they're not there. Like actually, I worked in a really stressful job with night shifts. I was quite miserable. I was struggling with depression. So those things I no longer carry with me. So therefore I don't get tripped up as much, because
you've changed your life.
I've changed my life. And that's a nice thing to kind of step back and realize. I think when you look at this list,
actually that's a very poignant point you make. Actually, the next one is, I'm aware of how I might subconsciously sabotage myself. I look out for times when this might happen and I have strategies to protect myself. That's basically what you've been saying all along, isn't it?
Like, so we know how we're going to self-sabotage ourselves, and so you've got strategies.
You know, like potentially, I don't, one of my downfalls is if I haven't got the food shop done, I'll just make something really boring and then I'll feel so unsatisfied. I'll go and raid Daisy Snacks. Or, you know, when you're, this is going back to the variety of free foods, when you're bored, you might then go and order a pizza because you're so bored. And actually, you've learned that, you know, you get off the scales and you haven't got the weight loss you want, you don't go and eat cake anymore or whatever. So I think that's a very big one to work
being
on.
Being tired, I think, is a huge one for me.
Oh,
I
totally agree.
And then, but planning, I suppose, to not let myself get to that point. So I think the number one thing I've done in the last 2 years is make sleep a priority.
I
thought it as like the kind of last thing on my list, but again, I have that option and I wasn't choosing that option.
No, but I think, but you, the work you've done on your sleep and your mind has been massive for you, because you recognized that exhaustion was such a trigger for you, didn't you?
If I'm not sleeping properly, my immune system is down. I'm going to get ill. Then I'm not going to feel well. Then, of course, you don't eat very well, do you? And you're right, actually. The worst thing, I think, is when I haven't got food in. And we all, well, so many of us, we could possibly walk to a shop within half an hour. Probably less. For me, 10 minutes away is a mini supermarket, an express supermarket. What is my excuse? It takes more time to order a takeaway. But sometimes you wait 60 minutes for a takeaway.
We talked about this in group the other day, though, but it's like, what's synonymous with that takeaway is that, oh, I don't have to cook. Oh, I don't have to wash up.
The decision is taken away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and it's the faff, isn't it? So doing something, for me, getting online food deliveries has been a game changer. I used to battle with myself. I should go to the less expensive supermarket and get all the bargains, everything. Actually, I'm saving myself a hell of a lot lot of money by getting a well-known supermarket to deliver to me. It's even got a meal planner on their website, so I don't have to overthink it. So it's knowing what your, what I subconsciously sabotage myself with is totally different to yours, or totally different to someone who's listening, but we'll all have the similarity. There'll be something.
The alcohol, I think, was a way I was subconsciously sabotaging myself. And it got to the point where it was almost more exhausting of trying to moderate.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? We're like, right, I'm going to go out on Saturday night with my friends. I'm going to have two rum and Diet Cokes. And so that means that's seven sins. And then I'll have a non-alcoholic drink. And then I'll have one more.
Oh,
and it was just like so exhausting to kind of like put the you know, restrictions on, that actually to kind of just do away with that, I think, just gave me a bit more freedom.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So the last one is, this is one that I would really watch out for in my head. I spread my sins through the week rather than saving them for a treat day at the weekend. The word treat, cheat, any of those sort of days, as a consultant, always gets my alarm bells flashing bright red.
I've often thought about this. Now, the other week I did have a gain on the scales, and it's a morning weigh-in. So sometimes you can kind of think, oh, today doesn't really count.
Huh?
So you could go home and then like be like, I don't know, eat five hi-fis and have a takeaway tea and think, I'll start tomorrow.
Yeah.
But actually on that day, I knew it was going to be a gain. So I took my breakfast, which was on plan to eat after I'd weighed.
Well done.
And I decided that day was not a cheat day and I was going to be on plan. And I thought about that because I remember people saying at groups I've been to previously, after weighing, if they got a stone, they'd go to like the drive-through.
Yeah,
you know?
I used to do it. Between 150 and 180 sins I'd do on weigh day. I mean, what was I doing? I'd lose 3 pounds and I'd put it on in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's also recognising treat, cheat. Those two ring alarm bells for me because it tells you somewhere in this you're feeling deprived and you're feeling restricted. And actually, you're never going to get to that place you want if you're doing that binge starve mentality. So I think it's just recognising if that's going on. Think about it this way. I'm never off plan. The reason being, there are things that are beautifully within the beauty of free food. There are things that are higher up the spectrum. But if I tell myself I'm off and I'm on, somehow it's good. Somehow it's bad. Somehow I'm dieting then. So it's recognizing if cheat or treat is coming in, you're still not quite there in your mind of, this is my lifestyle, you're waiting for it to end, is what I recognise and it's what I see in my members. The people that have their sins consistently through the week are much more effective at losing weight consistently.
Interesting. Like I had my 4 pieces of lime pie throughout the week.
But what you didn't do
as opposed to the whole lime pie on one day.
And what would have happened if you'd had 80 sins in lime pie on that night? And I'm putting words into your mouth. Potentially what would have happened, you would have thought, oh my God, I've had 80 sins in one go. Therefore, I can't have sins for the rest of the week. I've got to somehow restrict. Whereas what you did is you made a conscious effort to go free food first, allow the lime pie. It's what it triggers in your mind. So it's not necessarily the calories you consume. It's the knock-on effect, the domino of, oh God, I've done this. What's happening? So thought-provoking, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would highly recommend go type in Slim for Life habits in the Lifeline online or, you know, just jot down some of these, you know, go back and have a little jot down some of the habits. It doesn't have to be all of them. Maybe there are a couple of standout ones where just write it on a piece of paper and then maybe put a couple of action points that you'd like to try in order to kind of make this start to... bed in.
Have you got one that sticks out that you're going to try and work on? I've got one.
I think about what I'll be spending my sins at the start of each day.
Yeah.
It seems a bit more balanced. And, you know, like the idea of balancing them out through the week.
Yeah.
Being intentional, I suppose, with my sins rather than reactive.
I like that. Mine is going to be to make sure I fit activity into my routine most days. That's my plan of action along with baby cucumbers.
Yeah, and I suppose it doesn't have to mean like, I don't know, weightlifting and pull-ups every day. Actually, going out for it, like you're walking, your 30 minutes walk around the block.
I'm going to try and swim every day for 30 minutes at my gym. That's going to be easy to do.
And that's also enjoyable.
Yeah, and in this weather, who doesn't want it? I mean, have you seen the state of my air? I have a frizz bomb. I need to get in that pool.
Right, well, should we
go for a little walk?
Who's bench? Oh, there was nobody's bench. No, nobody owned this bench. Just a bit of pigeon poo. Well, there's a reservoir just down the end of this road. We can go for a swim right now.
Yeah, how about no? I was thinking let's go to the coffee shop.
Right, next week we are talking free food, actually. It is free food first. The triple F's is what we're doing.
And that's not her bra size.
I'm giving Anna full rein to raid my kitchen to pick out her three favourite free foods.
In your kitchen?
Ooh. I think we should end this podcast before crossing the road.
Yeah, I think, oh, that lady was going to let us go. Yeah, death is not something that was on that checklist. Yes, so I really hope it helps. And maybe slow our voices down if you want to take note of these and you haven't gone online. Don't speed it up though, gang.
Have a great week and enjoy your new habits and enjoy your food.
Bye for now.